Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Brighten up your home with help from Menards. Illuminate your home with LED light bulbs from Fight Electric. They provide light that lasts with a rated life of over 10,000 hours. Don't wait to finish your projects. Save big money on Fight Electric LED light bulbs now at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Hello and welcome to Two Words Wolves Pod live game 3 after show. Just me tonight. A very interesting game, crazy game. Thought the Wolves played pretty darn poorly for much of that game in the first half. The offense in the first half was just incredibly poor. But they were able to find a way to pull it out. Wolves win 102-97. They take a 2-1 series lead. I always kind of like to start big picture with some of these. With some of these series takes away, and the thing I've been hearing consistently, basically since Curry went down, is the Warriors are going to try to win one of these two games at Chase Center. I heard Shams has been saying that. I've heard it from Warriors reporters back home when the teams are back here in Minnesota. And I thought that's exactly what we saw tonight. I wouldn't say they punted game two, but they were clearly searching for different lineups that were going to be successful. And now for game three, they went out and played those lineups a heavy amount. Butler plays a second shy of 43 minutes. Draymond falls out, so that's obviously limits his minutes. But Podziemski, 39 minutes. Like they Kuminga, 35 off the bench. They played their big guys. I kind of felt like coming in that the Warriors, pre-Steph coming back, we're going to give the Wolves one big, great shot to win one of these two games. And that might have been tonight. Obviously, you don't want to look too far ahead at anything, but a lot of things kind of, this might have been one of the Warriors' best games they have without their superstar. Butler, just sensational, 33 points, but the Wolves are able to shut him out for the last 8 minutes of the game. He scores his 33rd point with 8:16 left in the game and doesn't score from thereafter. Really, the entire Warriors offense was not able to put up much of anything down the stretch of the game. Let's see if I can find like a streak of how much they scored. So they scored, looks like 15 points in the last 8:16. They went scoreless for a 4-minute stretch, and that's where the Wolves basically went from down 5 to up close to 5, and that was the biggest stretch of the game. And like thinking big picture about it, the Warriors went without a field goal from 8:50 till 2:58. So what is that? That's over five minutes without a field goal. That's how I know Steve Kerr said before the game the Warriors were going to win it with their defense, and that obviously is what they're going to have to do without Curry. But The Wolves' defense was just as stifling. The Warriors made 10 of their 23 threes. Usually when you're looking at three-point defense, the attempts are the biggest thing, so to limit them to 23 attempts was big. Kuminga hits 3 of 4 threes. I'm not sure that's all that sustainable. Buddy Hield hitting 4 of 8 from three certainly is. He can do that. He's been a fantastic shooter since he was at Oklahoma. But obviously, the Wolves got a huge break by Curry getting hurt. We don't need to I spent much of the game two live talking about that and about just how big that is for the series. But this is the type of we knew, and even without Curry, you knew the Warriors are going to give you their best shot at these two in Chase Center. And maybe they'll come back in potential game five, whether the series is tied or the Wolves are up 3-1 and give another great shot. But, I thought Randall was fantastic to me, even though he didn't he didn't score all that efficiently. I just thought he was just sensational. Has his first career triple-double in the playoffs. 24 points, 12 assists, 10 rebounds. Let's see how many of these assists, of these 12 assists, are to three-pointers. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 of the 12 assists were to three-point attempts or three-point makes. That's just incredible. 10 rebounds to get the triple-double. Basically flirted with it in game two and gets it in game three. Sensational. The Wolves are plus 14 in his minutes, meaning they lost the minutes. Randall sat by 9. Incredible showing. Anthony Edwards was I thought, just putrid in the first half, was setting up for basically a third straight poor game from him in the series, and fourth straight if you go back to game five of the Lakers series. Again, not the most efficient night. 13 of 28 from the field, 5 of 14 from 3. I guess, I can't do that math in my head. It's 5 of 14, 35%, so meh. 4 rebounds, 4 assists. Not the best night, but ultimately, like, scores 36 points. And that's kind of my biggest takeaway is Wolves have a putrid first half, and they're still only down 2 at halftime. They have a awful most of the third quarter, and they're down single digits. And all they need is one basically really good offensive quarter, which they got in the fourth quarter, to win this game. That's without Curry, that's going to be the biggest thing. The Wolves don't have to play well the entire game. They turned the ball over 21 times, 3 of which were shot clock violations. That's too many. I thought that's like as big of a thing for the Wolves against this Warriors defense. The Warriors defense has been very good since they acquired Butler, but it's not based on shooting percentages, either from 2 or 3. They do it by forcing turnovers. And not even they're like an average foul team. So it's really just forcing turnovers for them. And especially with Curry out, their offense is going to rely on those turnovers. So for the Wolves to turn it over 21 times is just, that kept the Warriors in the game. Ultimately, the Warriors didn't score a ton off of those turnovers. The Wolves, despite turning the Warriors over 6 fewer times, had more points off turnovers. Just looking at some of the four factor stuff. Second chance points, Wolves dominated that. Did well on the board. Still a few too many offensive rebounds for the Warriors than you'd like to see, but ultimately Wolves come up with 26 second chance points. Points in the paint are pretty even, which they haven't been earlier in the series, excuse me. 3-point shooting has obviously been a big thing. Wolves finished 13 of 34 for 38%. That's going to be good enough to win these series. To win this series, they don't need to shoot 40-something percent, but just unlike, obviously, the two-game stretch of Game 5 in L.A. and the first game here back at Target Center in the series, I think everyone knew that wasn't going to be sustainable, and after they shot the lights out in Game 1 of the Lakers series, obviously, no one thought that they'd shoot that well. But it's all, to me, it's as much about attempts as it is about makes. Because the makes will come and go. If you're getting good looks, obviously you can just take half court shots if you want 3-point attempts. But Wolves take 11 more 3-pointers, have 3 extra makes. That's like the difference in the game. And that was a big thing in game one where the Wolves couldn't hit anything. It was like in game one, every category was equal. Field goal percentage, free throw percentage, rebounds, everything was equal except the 3-point volume. And so, I mean, again, with Curry out, that's just going to have to be an advantage for the Wolves, is making 3-point shots. Jaden's always a good barometer for that. Been a streaky shooter his whole career. So especially hits 3 of 4, just gigantic. It was really the Wolves really leaned on their top trio, the trio that's been their best players this entire postseason run: Edwards, McDaniels, and Randall. They all play 40 plus minutes. Ant plays approaching 44 minutes, just shy of that. Thought those three just have been the team's rocks the entire postseason. Obviously, Rudy and Nas have had moments. Rudy specifically in game 5, and then Nas in the fourth quarters of games 3 and 4 of the Lakers series. But it's been those three guys: Edwards, McDaniels, Randall. Those have been their top three guys. Those have been who's been carrying them through this postseason. And I that was turned up to another level tonight. Another not great game from Nikhil. Didn't score, missed all four of his shots. Another lackluster game from DiVincenzo. 2 points, 0 of 2 from 3. Nas didn't give you much. Rudy, kind of same thing as it's been the entire postseason. Fantastic defense. I think it wouldn't be right to say he played bad, because the Wolves defense just needs him out there. Just really think about the makeup of this team. It is interesting. Randall plays basically the whole game, 8 minutes shy of it, and then they're just kind of Rudy and Nas split the other half of the center minutes. It's just kind of interesting makeup, and it's like, it will be interesting if they're like really late in game, like under a minute left, tie game. It'll be fun to see. Rudy will come in for defense, and then Nas will come in out for offense. Advice, like, they'll just keep switching it as they need it. But yeah, it is a bit concerning to see the bench of the Wolves not play like they have much of the season. But ultimately, they don't need them to. They need them, and those guys have played a fair amount of defense, so it's not fair to just look at their shooting numbers and project out or whatever. But they just need guys to be solid. Continuing to watch this series, especially after game one, the Wolves just have so much more. It felt like Golden State got another Kuminga performance. They got a fantastic Jimmy performance, probably not the best Draymond game. But like, the Warriors had a lot going for them. Kuminga had 30 points. That's incredible. I, at the very least, for Golden State, you got to have to imagine that his trade stock is increasing if they want to go that route. Because Kerr had benched him. Or maybe you take this run and you try to integrate him back in with Curry. I mean, they're hoping later in this series, and the Wolves are hoping that integration comes next season. But yeah, Jonathan Kuminga has been very, very good. He's been the guy, if you Wolves fans probably remember, that he was the when the Wolves traded Andrew Wiggins for D'Angelo Russell, this was the first round pick they ended up giving up. The Wolves took Kuminga with him with a mid-teens pick. Forgive me for not remembering the exact number there. But I think Wolves fans have kind of kept tabs on that deal, at least pre-Ant. I think once Ant kind of came into the picture, they stopped tracking Kuminga as much. And also, like, the Warriors won the title with Wiggins. Like, I'm not a big, like, who won the trade. I think the Wolves actually made out well, especially once they flipped D'Lo for Conley and Nah. But obviously, you win the title with any player you trade for, you win that trade. But Kuminga, like, it's just been obvious, and at this point, Kirk has nothing else to do but play him, but it's just been obvious the Warriors need any sort of scoring. The Wolves were able to just lock him down the stretch of the game whenever they need to. Every time a team plays poorly, fans, myself included at times, kind of look to effort. And so I think the first half, people would point to effort, and I think a lot of it is the Warriors' defense is doing a lot, and then it's just like not playing well. And execution and all those buzzwords as well. I don't think it's fair to really, like, it's just, effort is not a word I would use. But execution is probably a better word that I would choose to use for kind of the Wolves' poor play in the first half. But I do think like I said earlier, the Warriors' path to winning the series is winning now one of these next two games, either at Chase or back at Target Center, to force Game 6, where Curry might come back. We don't know if he can, but obviously the Warriors have nothing else but to hope that he can come back for that game, for that Game 6. But yeah, let me just look at the point tally for Golden State and what the Wolves were able to do down the stretch of the game. So the Warriors score their 82nd point with 8:16 left, don't score a point until 4:20, and they don't score again until 2:58. That's just an absolute domination. The Warriors go without, for a 5-minute stretch, they go without a field goal. They score 4 points. And the Wolves go from down five, looking like they're going to lose this game to up four and back in control of the game. Warriors hit a couple shots. Obviously, the Kuminga three-pointer that they let them have. Kuminga kind of hit 2 3-pointers late in the game, but that's the most impressive part to me, is that consistently in this playoffs, when the Wolves have gotten into crunch time, we'll go with that as a Wolves themed note there. Every time the Wolves have gotten to that point in the game, they've been able to pull it out, which has just been such a drastic shift from the regular season. And that's one thing. The two things that held the Wolves back, or because let's be honest, I think we've seen it through this postseason, the Wolves should be the 2 seed right now. To me, they're the second best team in the West, especially from a regular season standpoint. Obviously, we unfortunately don't get to see a fully healthy Golden State squad go up against the Wolves. But the two reasons the Wolves came kind of short, their regular season win total came short of what their talent says it should. Obviously, there was the integration period earlier in the season that has largely been eradicated at this point, but was being poor in clutch time. They were the worst clutch team of all the Western Conference playoff teams. And two, just, I think everyone knows this, not taking an opponent seriously, not taking lesser opponent, playing down to competition, all that. And so it'll be interesting if they do end up winning this series. It's an interesting thematic note that they've really been able to squash those two main worries that they've had. Obviously the first half, you could say they were playing down to this talent deficit Golden State team, but they're taking care of business now two nights in a row. They got two more to go. Game four is just a big one, just because you never know, obviously, but it's hard to imagine that the Wolves are able to win game five. There's a good chance that the series is not coming back to game six. So it'll be interesting to see if this was the Warriors' big punch that they were able to throw, and if the Wolves were able to overcome that, or if they can do it again and kind of bog down the Wolves. Cause that's the main thing, is the Warriors, rightfully so, have to make this a rock fight. And I do think it's interesting that the Wolves scored 102 points, because to me, especially with the pace the game is being played at this series, getting to 100 points, I just think the Wolves, it's hard to see the Warriors getting up past that level. Obviously, they could increase the pace, and they could, I mean, if you go to overtime, obviously that changes things. But like, the Wolves got to shoot all they got to do is score 100 points. That's really all they got to do. I thought that the first half was very similar to game one, in the sense of they should have been like, they let the Warriors defense bog them down. Anthony Edwards specifically was especially poor. And they broke out of that. They scored 29 points in the third and 33 points in the fourth. If they keep doing that, if they can, instead of scoring, if they score 25 points a quarter and then have one quarter of 30, that's 1 of 5. They're going to win these games. Like, I know it. I was listening to Dane's pod, and he declared the series over. I don't disagree with his points, in the sense of the Wolves should win the series. Before this game, I haven't checked it since, they were the biggest favorite of any of the teams. This was before Boston won tonight, or this afternoon, really. But those are the big. If you had to bet on any team to win a series, the Wolves are the most likely to get to the next round, and they had the fourth best odds to win the title behind, I believe, Boston, Oklahoma City, and let me check. Because that information is available to me. Okay, so the Wolves are now -800 to win the series. So when Dane says the series is over, it's kind of what he's talking about. Obviously, the Wolves have won a game since he said that, even, but -800. It does stink. And again, I'm not, knock on wood, then basically Dane is right. But if, assuming the Wolves do win the series, and especially if they win it in five, and Curry's either not playing in the rest of the series or is in a limited capacity in game five, the one thing, the Wolves shouldn't apologize for winning this series, even if it's because of the injury. And I don't, one thing I won't want to hear is like the hypothetical, well, the Warriors would have won this series. We don't know. We unfortunately don't know what would have happened if Curry was healthy. But so I think coming into the series, one of the juicy things, and it's kind of the, like the juicy things we got by beating the Lakers was like, I won't say rubbing it in Luka's face, but like we avenged, the Wolves avenged that last year's loss to Luka, and obviously beating LeBron is, he's the best player I've ever seen. You get that satisfaction. And there was a little bit coming into that, this series where there was obviously the Draymond aspect and the Jimmy aspect of it. For Jimmy for the fans and Draymond for the team and especially Rudy. Again, Wolves shouldn't apologize, but there is an aspect that you lose. I don't think you really get to rub it in those guys' faces as much. They've played fairly well. They don't have the help without their best player. It's just kind of one of those. I hope, I'm almost certain this will happen. It's just like you shake their hands, you say good series, and you move on. That's obviously the Steph injury means so much more to the Warriors fans that they are at this point on track to lose their season because of it. But in a much, much lesser sense, the Wolves do lose the potential for that. The ultimate like F you to those guys. You got to kind of take it in stride. But so the Wolves are minus 800. The next highest favorite is Boston at 275. It is interesting. So in the other three series, the favorites are down 2-1. All three of those teams that are down 2-1 are favorites, which is interesting. And we're not necessarily disagreeing with that sentiment, but it's interesting. Boston is favored, even being down 2-1. OKC down 2-1. And Cleveland down 2-1, all favorites. So if you look at finals odds, the current betting favorite is OKC at plus 175, meaning if you bet 100, you win 175. And then Boston plus 225, Cleveland plus 550, Wolves plus 850. I'm curious why Denver and New York are so much further behind the Wolves. If we want to do a betting segment, again, I don't and can't bet here in Minnesota, but the value bets to me here would be like Boston at plus 225. Oklahoma City at plus 175. I just don't see them as winning the title, especially watching them, not ruling them out, but I wouldn't see the value there. Same with Cleveland plus 550. But Denver at plus 1200 and New York at plus 2200 are probably pretty good value picks there. I mean, yeah, it's just interesting. Like the Pacers are plus 2,800 and they're leading their series against the best team in the Eastern Conference. But yeah, to go back to the Wolves. It was a frustrating first half. I wasn't online tonight, but I'm sure the internet was ablaze with frustrations about that performance. And it's kind of one of those things where the Wolves kind of refused to make things easy on themselves. They could have, like thinking about the start of the game, they go up big early. Not big, but I had them down on my notes here. So the Wolves take a 21-12 lead with 2:30 left in the first quarter, and they give up a 9-0 run to close the quarter, and then Golden State scores the first basket to make it of the second quarter to make an 11-0 run. Basically, the same thing that happens at the end of the half. They go up 39-29 with 6 minutes left, and Golden State closes the half on a 13-1 run. Both of those were points in the game where, like, I think where it's clear Golden State's not going to give up anything. They're not going to punt on games at this point. But both of those points at the end of quarters, you had a chance to really build a lead that you can kind of coast on through the rest of the game. Because the Golden State didn't hit a three-pointer in the first half. It's interesting that now both teams have gone a half of in a game this series without hitting a three-pointer. Now, the Wolves were much higher volume of three-pointers attempted in their scoreless half or three-point scoreless half, but you knew the threes were coming. That's just how NBA basketball works. Kind of thinking, what was the low point of this game? Kuminga hits a pair of free throws to go up six. Yeah, I really do think it was the second Jimmy free throw to go up five at 8:16. And the Wolves, from that point forward, they have a shot clock violation on the next possession, but they're able to find enough find enough offense. The Wolves scored almost 25 points in the second half of the fourth quarter. And like I said, the defense just absolutely took care of business against the Warriors. And that's what is going to continue to happen. It's just really hard. Like I said, the Warriors got a lot of good performances from Jimmy. I don't know how healthy he is. Finch kind of said about Ant, he's as healthy as anyone can be at this point in the series, or at this point in the playoffs. Probably can say the same thing about Jimmy. He's as healthy as anyone can be for that scary fall he had against Houston. For a player of his age. But they got great performances out of those guys. It's reminiscent of the Lakers series in the sense of Golden State's obviously not doing the Redick play guys the entire quarter, or entire half. But I do think there was an aspect of Jimmy running out of gas. Obviously, Draymond fouling out didn't help that point of it. But yeah, I just think that they're relying so heavily on Jimmy. Kuminga gave them 30. The Warriors need more from Buddy Hield. Obviously, he hits the 4 3-pointers. He takes 4 of 8. Obviously, you take that all day, but you almost just got to tell him, like, ramp it up, shoot even more. Like, they just need it. They don't have, I thought Gary Payton would kind of be a bigger factor, and he's obviously been great on defense, but the Warriors roster just doesn't have a lot of guys, two-way guys. They have a lot of defensive guys, like Payton and Looney and then offensive guys. Draymond's a largely defensive guy, although isn't a liability necessarily on offense, although he scored only 2 points. But then they have offensive guys like Buddy Hield, and they just, without Curry, they're just asking so much of. I think it's probably, you can say it's a flaw of this Warriors team that after Curry, they don't have a lot of offensive production. Obviously, once that goes away, the Curry injury stinks for the series. Obviously it's fortuitous for the Wolves, but like it just completely broke everything about this series. It's hard. I think the Wolves played well enough in game two. I'm not sure Curry playing that game would have changed much, but this is the first game in the series where obviously it's hard to imagine that the Wolves win this game if Steph Curry's playing. And we'll see if the Warriors are able to continue this again, if this was their big charge here or not. Or if they're able to continue. I don't know. It's just, this is the first game where I think Warriors fans have just got to be like, really, our whole season's going to come down to the fact that our guy injured his hamstring for the first time of his career. And I guess that's the territory that comes with older players. That's just kind of how it unfortunately goes. The Warriors are unfortunately more likely to sustain a crappy injury than the Wolves are, but the Wolves don't have to apologize. It stinks, obviously, but you can only play who's in front of you. The Wolves took care of business tonight. They'll be back on Monday looking to really take control of this series 3-1 and potentially close it out in 5. What's interesting about that is they haven't closed out a playoff series at home since 2004, the Kevin Garnett up on the table series. I want to check if that's the only home series victory. If the first round against Denver, if that was where that was closed out. Give me a moment. That was closed out at home in 5. So it would be the third time they've closed out a series at home, but the Wolves have been just a fantastic road team. Really these last two playoff seasons. What are they now? They're now 3-1 on the road this season. The Wolves are now 5-0 when an opposing player, unless I wasn't paying attention well enough, 5-0 when an opposing player does not bank in a 3, and they're 1-2 when an opposing player banks in a 3. Jimmy banked one in game 1, and Luka banked one in the first two games of that series. So stats that probably don't matter, but are interesting nonetheless. Yeah, Wolves 102, Warriors 97. They look to, on game four, go up 3-1, or Golden State accomplishes their goal of knotting the series and forcing at least a game six in this series. My prediction is that the Wolves will win that, but I guess we'll see. Thank you, everyone, for listening. We'll be back later in this series. Go Wolves.
Ayoo!